Blog Talk Radio.
Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up.
Preacher man, oh tell me, heaven is on the gear. I know you don't know what life is really worth. It's a all that Peter told. After the story had never been told. So now you see the light. Hey, stand up for your right. Come on,
get up.
Most people think great God will come from the sky, take away everything and make everybody feel high. From the sky, take away everything and make.
Well, hello this afternoon of United Voices with Deanna Look and Sherry Saunders. How's everybody doing this evening?
Great.
All right, who do we have on the line so far right now?
We have Roger Southfield.
All right, Saunders. Roger, who else? And Kevin Saunders. Deanna, are you on with us?
Yeah, I'm on. You had me doing some pretty strenuous tasks there, Miss Ma'am, but I made it.
Well, I think that we have some major announcements that we would like to get to probably in a few minutes. Roger, I was wanting to start this show off with you. Deanna has been working on the last few minutes is setting up a Gmail email address for the Compassionate Use Act of Alabama. We are going to call it that, and we have a Gmail address with that. And with that being said, Roger Saunders, you and I have been friends for a while now, and we have spoken on the phone, and you know that I've done all that I can in advocacy work here along with Deanna Look and Chris Rushen and many others towards building legitimacy behind my name in my work here in Alabama. I'd like to announce that I will be going forward along with Deanna Look and Chris Rushen and some others on some legislation work here in this state that will allow for the compassionate use of the plant cannabis, which is what we are talking about today. Roger, why don't you go on and explain your plan to the people of Alabama who are listening so that they can begin to understand where I came up with this legislation, and I came up with it because I followed exactly what you have done and your groundbreaking work in California. So, Roger, I want to give you the stage. Please explain what you have gotten done in California.
Well, I was a ringer grower, and I thought everybody else was going to take care of the politics part of it, but it never seemed like to gel together. And after the first time I got arrested and seen it wasn't going anywhere, I made the goal to myself to look into how to make it myself legal. So I started to go back in history and found out why cannabis was first illegal to start with. A lot of things came into place when I found out that back then how our government worked on a 30-year general plan, and they keep extending this 30-year general plan as the way our democracy works as far as our economy. Cannabis was set aside purposely for this very moment in time. And once I found that out, I started to find out how there would be different acts and bills that I could go ahead and somewhat capture onto that would give me the legitimacy to go ahead and follow what government's already asked me to do. And the 1937 Compassionate Use Act That act was very written for marijuana, believe it or not. But nobody picked it up by being able to utilize cannabis because it was interfering with too many other corporations that were also using similar products. That cannabis would actually hurt them very much, so they've been putting us off. Now we've come out with the 1996 Compassionate Use Act. Man, when I saw that, man, it would hit me square in the head. I'm going, man, history's repeating itself again. Here, this very bill is brought before me, and we're not jumping on it. So I thought, well, the first thing we needed to do was structure ourselves to be identified as a structure of government. And that's when I came up with the idea of starting a cannabis minority group that would give us the right to speak on a religious basis, of finding a way how we'd be able to be fitting into government the way the Constitution was written. For under God, and that means for all of us, in the way we have the right to practice our faith. There are some people right now, even in San Francisco, that have religions. They serve marijuana for a sacrament. Well, there again, why can't we use this for holistical purposes for our own family needs, I thought. So that's where I got in the idea, once again, to propose a Compassionate Use Act to all the cities to use as an comparison of an act the way the people that are being pushed upon with a government act and how they would like to see it be ran fairly and jointly with government. But I feel also right now, well, that's not doing anything at all. It's just giving them more leverage for them to say, you couldn't do it. We gave you the chance. We gave you these two acts you couldn't follow. So therefore, we're going to mandate a certain way that you're now going to have to follow. And that scared the crap out of me. But when I went to the cities and found out the legalization and decriminalization part of it, that a city is allowed to decriminalize it to be able to benefit their city's own infrastructure to build their own economy. With the city of Palm Springs, for example, I'll do this publicly, the city manager happens to have AIDS. So the city attorney had no other choice to protect the city but declare this magna law. And this magna law gave them the right to decriminalize this cannabis and take on all the income that it gets off cannabis first. And then they wind up giving, well, in a rude way, the chunk change to the state instead of the other way around. And they just love the idea. So now, like I said, the city of Palm Springs this year is estimated to somewhere make a neighborhood of $2 to $2.3 million on the industry alone for its own city.
Roger, how many, what's the population of that city?
The city's just under 100,000 people.
Under 100,000 people? On a grand scale, if you were to come up with a number, say, for the state of California, if they were to follow your plan, your model, do you have a number yet of what the profit margin would be for the state of California?
That was an $8 billion plan that I offered Governor Brown that is staffed out of the great plan, but they just simply tied me up in politics until Governor Brown just recently came out with these new bills thinking it all came from him.
Okay, can you once again announce that number for us people in Alabama who have been trained under Common Core here recently?
Again, what number was that now?
Right. What I was asking for you is just to repeat the number, because here in Alabama, our educational system has been under the threat and the deluge of Common Core. Not only that, our students can't get their studies done because the teachers have their hands in their pants. So in the state of Alabama, we don't understand what it's like to have an industry that creates tax money that does anything other than support politicians. So what your plan can present for the state of California, I believe you said $8 billion.
Yes, in the first year.
Okay. That's with a B. That's $1 billion.
$1 billion. In first city, it was estimated $360,000 per 100 participants.
Wow. So for the state of Alabama, who we have bridges that haven't been looked at since 1955, we have an educational system where, once again, we have to pass. We don't worry about passing legislation that will make life better for poor people. We busy our time in Montgomery with passing legislation that will educate teachers on why it's not okay to fuck kids. I don't know that – I didn't know if you knew that or not, Roger or Kevin, but in our state, one of the hot bills that they're really discussing in Montgomery is a educational plan that will be laid out for teachers where they are told that they cannot have sex with their students. We've had a rash of arrests here in the past month. Spring brings new blooms and apparently horniness. But getting back to what we were talking about before, sorry, I went on a tangent there. I was just reading a story about another raped student, so I apologize for getting off the bus. But getting back to what we were saying, with the Compassionate Use Act of Alabama, the plans that we have and that we hope to put in place is to follow the model of Roger Southfield. He has created a political party. The party that I want him to speak about here in just a minute, I want him to explain his party. But under this party, he has been able to establish leaders throughout this country. Now in Alabama, we don't have one leader in Montgomery. So the leadership that we are going to have to establish will have to come outside of politics. And those leaders, I hope, are going to step forward in this state. I know that me personally, I am going to grab the head position there of your political party in this state, Roger. I didn't know if you was going to appoint me that or not, but I'm going to appoint myself. Well, I would love to start your political party here in this state.
I'll appoint you to that right now. I think you're a great leader yourself.
Oh, I appreciate that. Is there anything else that you would like to let the people of Alabama know about your plan? I understand you have a lot going on, but I don't know all that you want to have put out there for the listeners. But I will like for the listeners to understand that Roger Southfield is a gentleman that I've come to respect and learn from, and I'm going to say it for me and Deanna that we appreciate the work that Roger has put in because what he has simply done is given us the answer that we can use the law that as it was written all of those years ago, we can use the law against the law. And all it takes is for all of us to come together as voters and as a people and understand the righteous path. We are in this together. This is not anymore about revenue for our prisons or to hire new guards or to hire new policemen. It is not about that anymore. Here in Alabama, we have an infrastructure that is crumbling, a government that is fractured, and once again, our educational system is a disappointment.
It really is.
Deanna, I'm going to throw it to you for a minute and let you take your path. And once again, I apologize for getting off a tangent there, but the just one more story of me hearing just this week of another person in a teacher position being arrested because he cannot keep his hands out of a student's pants has just put me in a place where I have to say something about it.
Well, and that's you know, that's actually one of the – oh, gosh. The state of Alabama, y'all, is the most – ass backwards, crooked governmental system you will ever run into, in my opinion. I am from upstate New York, but I live here in Alabama, and believe what Sherry was just saying. We have now been ranked the first, the top state in the United States of America where teacher and student relationships occur, which is absolutely disgusting. We have been denied the rights of marijuana usage. We have stood and fought for years to gain marijuana use legalization amongst the people. I know that Birmingham is doing some good things right now through the UAB hospital, but medicinally, it's still only being slightly tested here. I mean, we haven't even crossed that boundary yet. You know, we have a long way to go, and I'm really liking what I'm hearing out of you, Roger. I love Kevin P. Saunders. He's a great man. He's doing great things. Thank you all for doing what you're doing for this nation. But I do believe that Roger's approach to this is probably going to more so fit within the state of Alabama because it is such a corrupted, maniacally twisted state, we have to go into it as gently as possible while making a noise.
Making a noise, correct.
Yeah, while making a noise. So.
That's a good way to put it. It's annoying.
So anyway, so Sherry's not making light, by the way, of what's been going on. It really genuinely does piss us both off. Our governor just made national headlines, by the way, because his morals would not allow him to bring the lottery to the state of Alabama.
Medicaid money, Deanna. It's more important that we kill poor white and black people.
Right.
And okay, I just want to make sure that the listeners understood.
Right.
He also turned down money for our medical system.
Yes, and his morals will not allow us to have marijuana legalization here, even though he owns, tell me what he owns, Sharon.
GW Pharmaceutical. He's a major stockholder in GW Pharmaceutical.
Okay, thank you.
That is an industry and a company that is geared towards creating cannabis drugs. So our governor and his upstanding Republican values owns a pill and a spray that he wants to sell you, but you damn sure better not grow your own. And that is Alabama. So I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, but our government was also has just made national headline news for having an affair on his wife and misusing federal funds. So this is what we're up against right now in Alabama.
Go ahead. What I'd like to do is bring in Kevin Saunders. He is an expert on the legislation as it goes in California. What Kevin is going to speak about is a gentleman by the name of Sean Parker. This gentleman has brought in funding to present a plan, and if that plan is allowed for and elected to, that all over the country you can see where corporate money will come in to steal the use and sale of cannabis, and it will be so skyrockingly high that you can't afford it, and then therefore you will be also stuck under this legislation that you can't grow your own. You will go to jail for that, meaning how is it any different than it is now? It goes from one prison to the next prison. The fines will be the same. The prisoning will be the same. But I'd like to get it over to Kevin Saunders, who can explain exactly what is going on with the AUMA of California. Kevin.
Well, thank you. My name is Kevin P. Saunders, and I'm the co-founder of Coasterdam, the Cannabis Collective. I'm on OMA 2016 spokesman, and let me tell you what OMA is. It's the Sean Parker-backed initiative to legalize recreational marijuana in California in 2016 that would allow 1 ounce possession and a 6-plant limit. It essentially is a giveaway to police unions, to the chiefs. It has a 1/10 of an acre hemp component. It criminalizes anybody under 21 up to a 6-month and $500 fine, as if 6 months and $500 is nothing to somebody, especially a person on SSI. Or how about a person under CPS surveillance? Or how about a person already on probation? So that 6 months is now 3 years. So anybody under 18, it's not an issue with your parents. It's not an issue with a drug court. No, it is a misdemeanor. So we are essentially going to criminalize 18-year-olds. So what happens to a 19-year-old? Let's say you're a sophomore in college and you're partying with a senior in college and you guys are smoking a joint together. This is going to open up people to charges for exposing delinquency to a minor, giving drugs to a minor. This is a boondoggle for defense attorneys. This OMA is promoted and almost like infomercials by groups of attorneys that see this as a boondoggle. So right now in California, we have under the California Use Act in 1996, written by Dennis Perone, we are allowed, depending on what county you are, up to 99 plants and up to 8 ounces of flower. If this law passes, that is going to go back down to 6 plants, 1 ounce. We're supposed to be moving forward. This is 2016. This is moving backwards. Now you say, who is this Sean Parker? Why is he doing this? It's essentially to create a monopoly. It's essentially to create a monopoly of dispensaries. So you have to go to their dispensaries and buy high-priced, low volume, so that means $60 eighths with a 15% tax that's coming down the legislature right now, And we have an opportunity to torpedo this and to send, essentially send a message to corporate thought that we're not going to allow these corporate interests. You know, Deanna and you guys just talked about how corrupt Alabama is, and I've seen it firsthand. I know Alabama well. I almost attended Auburn when I was a young man. I know the state well. It is a very corrupt state. Imagine if those Republicans like Bentley had their hand in some sort of monopolized marijuana in Alabama. And that gets to my point of what I want to talk about right here. If the grassroots stop OMA, if we can stop OMA in California, it will prevent the OMA model to be exported, just like if Ohio initiative would have.
You know, Kevin, you're exactly right. That's one of the reasons why when I looked into as far as talking to Palm Springs and the city attorney down there, the advantage that the city has by decriminalizing it and then coming up with their own set of ordinances, but not laws. They're regulated by ordinances, therefore they're no longer for incrimination. They're only for penalties.
Sherry?
Yeah. And I think if we look at the issue of the advantages of what cities will have by first taking the initiative of regulating it like they're supposed to, this happened back in 2010, but there was no money in the cities for it back then. But now with my plan, there's, like I said, $360,000 per 100 participants if they take my plan, and if nothing else, at a pilot program. Then we'll have something really to compare it to. But coming up with a plan that's still not knowing where it's coming from underground special interest parties, and by legalizing it, we're still going to have to go in competition with Big Pharma. We don't want that.
That is correct.
Well, I feel it should still stay in the common mom-pa stores. They're going to be able to do it for their own municipal needs. And like we started before, if they want to donate it and be compensated, so be it. Let's leave the fee trade still in place where we don't have to go through everything to be taxed for. And certain things that are done in large volume for commercial use, that's when it should be taxed. And only should be taxed to the consumer no more than 5%.
Sherry, we have seven callers on at this moment.
That's why my plan is offering the city by doing it somewhere near that, $360,000 per 100 participants. And I think that's way up on the money compared to the money they've lost over the years.
Hey, Roger, let me interrupt you for just a second. I apologize.
By not having any laws at all, just can you only imagine the advantage that cities would have by creating what was tailoredly fit their own cities?
You're absolutely correct. But Roger, let me interrupt
you
for just a second.
What do you think on that plan as far as decriminalization?
Well, that's what I was going to get to. Deanna, we've got some more callers on the line. Is there any callers on the line?
No.
Deanna, can you hear me?
How do you like?
I can hear you, yes, ma'am.
Okay, so it appears like we're having some problems with the radio. But if there are any other callers that are on this line right now that were wanting to speak, please announce yourself right now. I don't have a way of knowing who's calling in unless you announce yourself. Okay, with that being said, it doesn't look like any callers are wanting to speak. Let me give it back to Kevin. Kevin, are you still on the line?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, let's get back to you explaining the AUMA. And for our listeners here in Alabama, Kevin Saunders is planning on coming to the state of Alabama. I'm excited to be friends with Kevin. I don't think we're related, but we just might be. I think I'm going to track that down, Kevin, now that I'm a little intrigued to see if we are cousins, in fact. But when he comes to the state, folks, I want you to know that I'm excited to be a part of anything that he's going to bring in and what Roger's going to bring in. I am just thankful that we have good leadership in this state that we can bank off of. And with that being said, Kevin, please explain what's going on in California and how that is so important to the rest of this nation, including the state of Alabama.
Well, the motto is so goes California, so goes the country, and all eyes are on California right now. It's been a leader since the 60s from Humboldt and San Diego, and we're going to be exporting Appalachians, which means parts of California that grow certain kinds of weed, like Napa grows wine. We're going to, Big Sur, we'll have Santa Cruz, Humboldt Appalachian. So we're talking branding and the potential billions of dollars, and we're talking about tourism. You're talking about both incoming and outsourcing of our genetics. So I believe that
Jerry.
If California passes
yes.
a plant.
We have another caller calling in.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Kevin.
Oh, no worries.
New callers, this who's on the line if you were wanting to speak towards this show?
I'm still here. I just thought I was off. Sorry about that.
Okay, Roger. I don't know what happened there earlier, but we were talking with Kevin. And, Kevin, I apologize. Please continue with what you were doing in your explanations.
Hey, no worries, yeah. man. It's live radio. I get it.
It's live radio, my brother.
Yeah, if California goes down this route, we're going to get stuck with 1 ounce, and we're going to get stuck with 6 plants. And the country will take heed of that, that was a winning model. People will say that that's a winning model. Let's export that. And what I'm really afraid of is that if we get a corporatized pot culture, that means where they exclude union, where they exclude minority workers, when they exclude any chance of reparation, that what you're going to get stuck with is a corporate model that was tried in Ohio with Nick Lachey and his 9 other multimillionaires that wanted to have a monopoly. And that's what essentially could happen. California voted Prop 215 to legalize recreational marijuana, but you can't get medical marijuana in all parts of California. Only liberal pockets or slightly progressive pockets of municipalities, like Roger's talking about, have made inroads, and there is potential to make a municipal model. We're trying to do that in Marina, where essentially the city sanctions it and goes in full bore into the model. And yes, you know, all politics is local, and I think that it obviously could happen in Birmingham, some of the more liberal parts of Alabama, maybe some of the coastal areas. That's why Coaster Dam is targeting Gulf Shores and Mobile. But Roger's right. If we could get somehow municipalities starting from within, like an incubator, and then at the state level, you could almost have kind of a two-tier working at the same time model where you have a state initiative, because you can't do anything until you actually change the law in Alabama. That has to happen legislatively, or it has to happen through the initiative process. And my belief is that Alabama is so progressive because of the work that you two, quite frankly, who are at the tip of the spear, are doing. And the work coming out of Robert Whitworth, Alabama, I think, could skip medicinal and go straight to recreational. That's just my opinion. That would be my goal. If it could get some CBD legislation first, I think Ashley's Law, I believe, maybe I'm wrong about that, we could start with medicinal, but I think Alabama is progressive enough. And I say that knowing the history of Alabama, but the work that you two ladies have done, and it is a feminine plant, and every reason why you and Dee, Sherry, are leading this movement is, and just like in California, we have women leading this movement. This is a feminine plant. So if we could get some sort of action in Birmingham for an initiative process, it is my belief that we can win this argument. You have internet, you have Facebook, you have the Sanjay Gupta CNN documentaries, you have references in movies and film now. It is past time. We are in the zeitgeist. I think Obama, in my honest-to-God opinion, is going to either deschedule it or reschedule it. But in my opinion, a descheduling would be better on his way out. And just imagine if he did that. It would change the entire argument. There are people right now that won't smoke pot just because it's illegal federally. There are universities that won't touch it through grants. There are loans, banks. Everything changes with re- or descheduling. And things are happening so quickly that if you have things happening at a local level, like Roger's talking about, to create municipalities and create these compassion centers, and you have it at the state level, you have like a vice grip. There's nowhere to run. I mean, I've gone to these meetings. There's nothing left. It's reefer madness. All they can say now is, crime, or there's going to be an increase in lung cancer. I mean, it sounds so nonsensical that I'm almost like, proceed, Governor, keep on talking. So people need to pay attention on what's happening in California. Sean Parker's a billionaire. He did Napster. He stole intellectual property from musicians. That can happen with our industry. We have genetics. We have intellectual property. My ex-partner in Coaster Dam developed sex pot. That is going to be worth millions of dollars. What happens if OMA just wipes away with no intellectual property all of Coaster Dam genetics? What happens to guys like Gardens Ablaze and Alex Carney and Aficionado? and these top people like Ken Estes and Cody Bass. What happens to all this intellectual property with a billionaire? I've never seen him. Where is he going to be? He doesn't go to any events. He trashed Big Sur, his wedding, his $2 million wedding. He didn't clean up trash. Who is Sean Parker? I've never seen him. And why are we allowing a billionaire to sweep in and take over what activists by the thousands and by their dollar contributions have made and made picket signs and got arrested? Why do those voices not matter? All the people that have been in jail, the ACLU, no. Sean Parker just gets to come in here with his billions of dollars. I'm saying no. Let's do it right. We have MRSA coming in. Let's do it right. Let's allow things to recalibrate here in California, because if we pass OMA, the Sean Parker Initiative, that is backed by everybody, we are going to get stuck with a really bad fake legalization model, and it's going to be exported out to every state, and we are going to be stuck with 1 ounce and six plants with no hemp, nothing, and that's right. Going to be the law. Unless you're a defense attorney, this is going to really, really screw you over, and mark my words, if we can stop OMA, then the grassroots, the activists through the Facebook platform can say, we have the power. Don't mess with us, because we have the power. It's exactly like what happened in Selma with the Black Civil Rights Movement. This is the intersection of the Civil Rights Movement. It is the intersection of social justice, of politics, of economics, everything. And we are seizing the moment right now. We are winning. We have our boot on their neck, and they have nowhere to go except join our movement. And I say, we can welcome you. We can welcome your security expertise. We can welcome the image of having big white jarhead football players supporting our cause, ex-cops, and we can say, yeah, you were wrong, but here's your joint, and let's all get along and move forward, because at the end of the day, if we're not moving forward, we're moving backwards, or we're just treading
water.
Well,
Kevin, let me interrupt you right there. I was hoping to have another one of my friends on this phone. Her name is Katri Darielle Saunders. She is on a bus right now heading to L.A. She is going to try out for the Roseanne Barr's dispensary. Apparently, that it looks like it's going to be a TV show, and she's on her way out there to audition. It's unfortunate that she can't come to this call, but I would like to speak for why I wanted her on this phone, because you brought up Selma and civil rights, and that's exactly what I want to speak towards. The African Americans in this country have predominantly spent their lives in jail for a plant. Now, what we have going on in the now white industry of cannabis is now our white rich forefathers there who are wanting to come together and assist us in ruling and taking all the profit are keeping out the African Americans, the blacks, that it's okay for them to go to jail and to provide profit and revenue for jails and states. In Alabama, our prison industry is one of our more profitable for the state. So with that being said, I wish that Katri could have come to this call. In the future, Marcus Eccles, my producer, will make another show for her, geared towards with her and other African-American activists of cannabis in this country. I will say that there are not many, and that is a damn crying shame that this country takes it upon itself to imprison a population and then put it out in the community that what we're supposed to say as white people is, well, they should have just got a job, or they should pull the damn pants up. Well, speaking from a point of view as an activist and an advocate and a civil rights leader in this state, my mother marched in Birmingham. She is why I became who I am. And I will say this. It is pretty fucking hard to get up out of a hole when you've got four or five people with their boot on your back and on your neck while you're down. So I'm sorry, I'm getting a little emotional thinking about it, but we have a lot of people in jail right now that are serving life sentences for a plant. What Kevin is speaking about is, in a sense, if we bring Sean Parker's plan in a short explanation, we will just change our handcuffs and chains from one person to another. It is the exact scenario, Alabamians. So I don't want you to get caught up in the politic, in the speech, in the rhetoric. When they start speaking a lot of words and talking real fast, and you thinking that there's a used car for sale that you were supposed to be looking at, then you should understand that right off the bat that's bullshit coming out of their mouth, and they was paid for or endorsed by somebody else, because if they had an original thought in their head, they wouldn't be a fucking politician. So with that being said, Kevin, that was a wonderful explanation. Roger Southfield, please, my brother, what can you assist us with understanding here in Alabama and what your plan could do for us? Now, we're a state that 33% of the people vote. 77% have said, fuck it. It's not ever going to work, and my vote does not count. So with that being said, Roger, what can your plan do for us here in Alabama?
I think the plan that I have that I found out is really working now is address your immediate cities first. The cities are the ones that are going to have to take the brunt whatever the state makes a decision on. So if we go over a plan that shows how it can benefit the cities like Palm Springs and Coalinga has here in California, it'll go ahead and create the revenue to make the infrastructure to regulate and control it. And I think that's a huge when you look at the difference between legalization.
Roger makes a great point because, you know, think about it. If these local communities like Roger's talking about, and he's right, Coalinga, Palm Springs, if these communities send their representatives to Birmingham or, in our case, Sacramento, they go to Sacramento and go to lunch with and colleague with and caucus with people from all over the state in the more conservative parts that are anti-marijuana, anti-growth. So Roger's right, and that's one of the reasons why, you know, I've urged people like myself to just throw your hat in the ring, go get your 30 signatures, run, because there's a thing called putting something on agenda. That is the number one holy grail in all city councils or all board of supervisor meetings. If it's not put on agenda, it's like a bill submitted in a state Congress. If it's not submitted, it's not even heard of. If it's not put on agenda, it's not even heard. But guess what? If you're your own elected city council man or woman or mayor, you can put it on agenda yourself. And even if it's voted down, it has to go through a rigorous process of analysis, of intellectual critique, financial critique, and what are these people going to say in a climate when they go home and they hear CNN talking about it and taxes are being raised and everything's going great in Colorado. What do they think? They think like Rogers, just like he said, let's do this in our town, in Coalinga, in Palm Springs. And, you know, old Tip O'Neill once said, the famous politician in Boston said, all politics is local. And he's right. Everything happens locally. And Roger's right. If we can get this stuff going, we can do it. And if it can happen in both levels of the state house and locally, but Roger might even be correct on this. And it might even be a better plan in Alabama than a statewide approach. Is if you could light a fire and light a match, it takes a village. And if you can just start in that one progressive town like Roger's talking about here in Palm Springs, and it can just build out in a small place like Alabama where everything will be amplified through media there in Alabama, Roger's right. We could have, like, a movement. And I don't think it's any better place than Birmingham for this to happen. And I'm just glad that it has Sherry and Dee in Birmingham. So that's my story.
Well, speaking of that, I will say that it is a certainty that I have already introduced this plan to the Greater Birmingham Ministries, which is a driving advocacy force here in the state of Alabama. All good legislation usually comes through those guys, and I was in the good graces and fortune to be a part of some work that they had last summer. They put me on a PBS special on Church Ethics and News Weekly. So I believe being on a show like that from an organization called Greater Birmingham Ministries, and I have already presented Roger Southfield's plan to them last summer. So towards that, Kevin, I am excited. Chris Russian was in that room. The ONAC Church of Inner Light out of Warrior, Alabama, I'm a medicine woman in that church. And those people sitting in that room know who brought that legislation out for the first time, and it was myself and the ONAC Church of Inner Light. That same legislation I hope to bring forward in a city council meeting in Birmingham. And in fact, folks, if you're listening, one way to get in Alabama, you just show up. Usually if there is a need to pre-register, you go to the
the city clerk and ask to be put on it, and they have to. You fill out a form, they put you on. In Huntsville and in Birmingham, I just show up, walk in, and put my name down, and they let me speak. So it's worked for me that way, and I intend to continue that path. Now, with that being said, I would like to make another announcement. I understand that Deanna has set us up an email account for the plan and the future legislation of the Compassionate Use Act of Alabama. And, Roger, you're absolutely right. Kevin, you're right. In Alabama, I feel the same, that what we need is a small-town approach. And I have the big city of Birmingham, which I hope to continue my support with the Greater Birmingham Ministries. And they seem to be pretty excited to hear about the money that could come in to save Birmingham. We have the World Games coming here in a couple of years, and we'd like to build our infrastructure, perhaps have a bus or two for the people to ride that is crankable and is on time more than once a week. But the plan I think we need to do here in Alabama is this. We have a county that has been devastated by the loss of an industry. International Paper in Lawrence County employed over maybe 1,200 to 2,000 people. I'm not let's go with 1,200. When that plant shut down, gentlemen, that was the only plant in that county. That was the infrastructure. They are crumbling in their schools. They are crumbling in their fire departments. They are crumbling. They're getting 10 hours a week. They can't pay their bills. The city of Moulton is a fine city located in Lawrence County, and it has the most wonderful flat fields that you have ever seen. Reminds me a lot of the fields of Nicaragua when I was in the military driving by acres and acres of cannabis a long time ago. I feel like it is in Alabama's best interest to keep the people of Lawrence County out of destitute and wanting to commit a crime of stealing a loaf of bread so they can feed their starving children. So I think the city of Moulton in Lawrence County, which has a legislator, I believe, who has teamed up with Buston out of Coleman, unfortunately, I don't know that gentleman's name, but he represents Lawrence County. And they put forth a hemp bill in the state, which was ignored, as most everything else is. I'm going to reach out to those people and let them know who I am and give them the plan and give them the answer to the riddle of Lawrence County, which is we have an opportunity. If we cannot prevent fracking, which there's a land that is already purchased, and as they wanted to frack, they shut down International Paper in order to frack. Up until this point, good people have kept the fracking out, but Lawrence County is on its knees. I think Moulton and Lawrence County is that place to start this legislation. Great things have always come out of Alabama. Kevin, you alluded to the Civil Rights Movement. Martin Luther King, one of the speakers of civil rights that I enjoy and love to listen to and, in fact, puts a fire in my belly is Malcolm X. When it comes to the cannabis industry, we, as a people across this nation, I don't know what it's like to live in California. Kevin, you are familiar with Alabama. Roger, I don't know if you are. But here in the state, the atmosphere is for you to keep your mouth shut and your head down and to work as a slave where you have no rights. Well, I think it's time that we give a small-town community, which is gasping for breath and they're doing the best they can to keep from being fracked, an opportunity to create an industry that could support its citizens, put its police officers back to work, put its firefighters back to work. For the love of God, put the teachers back to work. Let's educate these kids out of Lawrence County instead of Governor Bentley pulling money out of the educational fund to fund his other things. It is a travesty. It is unconstitutional, and it is ungodly what is going on in the state of Alabama.
Yes, it is.
And the city of Birmingham is exactly that is the den of iniquity in this state. Not that Montgomery is not. But I am excited that work I've laid groundwork to, and Kevin has known about this work. Roger has known about this work. So this is not something we just pulled out of our butts. We have been working on this for a minute. I'd like to give Deanna back the floor. I hear the music playing, so that means we probably have about a minute to 2 minutes left. I guess I just want to say, Roger Southfield, thank you, my brother, for giving us this plan, and I cannot wait to push that forward in Alabama. Kevin Saunders, if I was there in California, I would vote you mayor. Kevin is running for mayor of Marina, and everyone out there should vote for this man. We need to get this John Parker plan shut down. Deanna, it's yours.
Well, Kevin and I are going to be meeting at the Hemp Fest. I won't doubt a bit if we don't talk together about coming back to Alabama and help you girls out.
That sounds great. Absolutely. We're interested.
Absolutely.
All right, whoever wants to email compassionateyouth